You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
We are starting a new series, a brand new series that we are calling Test Prep, the three most important questions that you will ever answer. And at the end of our night last week, I got to share a little bit about my why. I shared a little bit about why I follow Jesus and why I choose to serve as a pastor. And then I challenged you to ask the same question. Why do you live your life the way that you do? And this series is kind of like our HSM big why for why we exist and why we serve. We believe that every human being asks three really important questions. They ask, who am I? Where do I belong? And what's my purpose? And I know that with my finger, like, counting it, like, looks kind of ridiculous, but those are the three biggest questions we will ever answer. And we know that you students have already been taking quizzes and tests, and these questions are even more important than what's the velocity of the baseball or calculate the parabola or whatever. Even more important than the tests that you're preparing for are these three big questions. And we believe that those questions are best answered by God and in His Word. And tonight we are focusing on the question, who am I? We're talking about identity. And I looked up identity on the good old internet, and this is what Google said. Google defines identity as the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. So it's pretty simple, right? Like, identity is who you are. But I think we all know that actually finding our identity and actually living it out is a lot more complicated than that. And it's complicated, but it doesn't mean that it's not important. Our identity is actually super critical because who we think we are dictates every choice we make. I kind of think about identity like the starting point in Google Maps, like if you're trying to get to a certain destination. Or your identity is like the first domino that causes all the rest to fall. Who we think we are dictates every choice we make. Let's prove it. Raise your hand if you would like to play a sport in college. If you're interested, okay, we've got some. Okay, great, love that. Okay, you guys. If you want to play a sport in college, you probably don't wake up every day and choose to eat a dozen donuts, right? You probably don't do that because you've decided you're an athlete. Okay, raise your hand if you're trying to get the best GPA that you could ever get, or maybe a good GPA. Okay, yeah. A good amount of the room. If you're trying to get a really good GPA in order to get into college, maybe you choose to put screen limits on your phone so that you can focus and get your homework done, right? You've decided that you're a scholar. Or maybe if you are really into video games or movies or TV shows, yeah, got some nods, maybe you don't put a screen limit on your phone. Because you're an entertainment junkie, okay? You're a gamer, you're an influencer. Like, that's what you've decided that you are. And there are people in my life who, my friends as adults, growing up, they grew up in homes where their parents struggled with alcohol use and alcoholism. And so today, as an adult, they've decided to not drink. They love their family, but they just don't want to make similar damaging choices, so they've chosen to just stop drinking alcohol, to never do that. They have chosen, they want to be a responsible son or daughter. And maybe one day they want to be a faithful father or mother. And if you are a Christian, you probably try to use your time well and get your homework done so that you can be at church, so that you can read your Bible every day, so that you can serve. Our identity dictates our priorities. It changes our priorities. Whoever we decide we are affects our priorities. And what you decide your identity is will influence how you live your life. So how you answer the question, who am I, is a really important decision. And HSM, I want you to know that I believe that you are at a really critical time when it comes to answering questions like this. I kind of think about it like when you're writing a big essay. You probably don't start like writing your paragraphs right away. You start with some research, right? You gather some quotes, you gather evidence, and then you like make an outline for the paper that you're gonna write. And I think right now, you high school students, you are gathering information, you are having experiences, you are learning things that are preparing you to write the rest of your story and to figure out who are you in that story. And so the decisions that you make today and as a high school student, they don't not matter. They matter immensely. And this is so important because the world and the people in our lives, they will speak very loudly into us answering the question, who am I? We're all trying to discover our identity, and that's not a bad thing. We, as humans, at our core, we long to be known. And in order for us to be known, we have to know who we are so that we can tell and show others who we are. So it's not a bad thing to want to find our identity. The problem is there's a lot of competing ideas as to what our identity should be. Maybe you've heard some of these before. Maybe you've heard that you are who you are attracted to. You are who you are attracted to. And let's say for a moment that, yeah, let's make this our identity. That makes sense. Like, our relationships mean a lot to us, especially maybe when we, like, make them romantic. But here's my problem, is if that was my whole identity, that I am who I'm attracted to, what happens when inevitably someone doesn't like you back? Like, let's be real, right? Like, if you are who you are attracted to, what do you do when the person you like doesn't like you back? Like, are you just automatically worthless? No. Diego had a quick no. Okay, how about this one? You are what you are good at. You are what you are good at. And HSM, this is, like, I think one of my core lies. Like, this is the thing that I feel like I go back over and over again with the Lord, that I believe this lie that I am what I'm good at, that my performance defines my worth. And that feels good, that identity works if you're good at something. But even if you're good at something, even if you're great at something, if this is your identity, what happens when you fail or make a mistake? Even if it's a small mistake, for me, because I've found my identity in my performance, my identity shatters the moment I make even a small mistake because this is what I've placed my whole identity in. Maybe another one is you are what you feel. And that's a great identity as long as you're happy, as long as you feel good, right? But what happens? If that's your identity, what happens when for a moment or a day or a week or a month you feel depressed? Or maybe you feel a moment of insecurity or loneliness. Do you become that feeling? Let's do one more. How about you are your social media profile? That you are whatever you can fit in a tiny screen for the rest of the world to see. That's great until you don't get all the likes that you wanted. Until you lose followers or maybe you get canceled or you're scrolling and you see someone else's profile that looks way better than yours because they're out there. The problem with all of these different types of identities that the world and we try to put on for ourselves is that they're what we're going to call outside in or inside out identities. You'll see this on your sermon notes. I heard this at a conference this week, and I thought I would share it with you all tonight because I felt like the language was helpful. When we have an outside in identity, we look outside ourselves for something that we relate to or want to relate to. So maybe that's like we are our social media profile. So we look outside of ourselves and we're like, okay, I have a lot of followers, like that affirmation from others, I'm taking that in and that's who I am. I'm what other people think of me. That's an outside in identity. You're looking outside of yourself for approval or a group that you want to belong to or just something that you relate to and you embrace it as your identity. Now, the other category of an identity can be an inside out identity. And that's when you're looking inside of yourself based on your own skills or preferences, and that's how you're defining who you are. So this might be that you step on the soccer field and you believe you're the best player on the field. And that might work for a little bit, but again, what happens if you make a mistake? What happens if you get injured? The problem with any of these identities, outside in or inside out, is that they are shaky identities. They can change. They're based off of ourselves or other people, and we are imperfect. And I am telling you, HSM, because I love you, if you put your identity in any of those things, you will be let down. And if you have high hopes about any of these identities, like I gave the soccer player example, you will be left feeling empty at the first sign of weakness or failure. And if you are brutally honest about these identities, and maybe you're like, oh, maybe I'm like really not the smartest person in my class, then you might feel purposelessness or imposter syndrome, which means you don't feel qualified to be in the space that you're in, or you'll be concerned that if anyone finds out the real you, you won't be loved. That's, again, kind of where my brain goes often, is like, if anyone knew the real me, they wouldn't actually love me. Or when there's someone better than you at anything, then you'll feel like you don't matter. These loud voices are the voices of the world and others and sometimes ourselves trying to tell us who we should be. But we have an opportunity to hear the voice of the God of the universe, who has a lot to say about who we are. And if God is God, then he has all authority to speak over our lives. That's your first fill in the blank. If God is God, then his voice should be the loudest and most powerful voice, louder than any of the other voices that are telling us who we are. If God is God, then he's inviting us to trust what he has to say about us. And for the rest of our time together, we are going to talk about what the Bible has to say about who we are. And because we are human, there are truths that God speaks about everyone, everywhere. There are some truths that the Bible declares is true of all human beings. And together with our leaders, we are going to read through this list, and you can follow along on your little bookmark. According to God and his word, all humans are created in God's image. Michaela, would you please read Genesis 1, verse 27 for us? All humans are also marvelously made. Chris, would you read Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 for us? All humans are known completely by God. Jazz, would you read Luke 12, verse 7? All humans are never alone. Kyle, would you read for us Romans 8, verses 38 and 39? And all humans are perfectly loved. Bemi, would you please read for us John chapter 3, verse 16? Us, as our leaders, we wanted to speak those truths of Scripture over all of you. Because the idea that every human being, no matter what age or stage or class they are in, the idea that every human being has worth, value, and dignity, that is an innately Christian idea. That is a biblical idea. That these are true of all human beings because, not because we did anything, but because God declared it. And looking at this list, I felt the Lord challenging me to share with all of you that if you are a Christian in this room tonight, it is because of these truths that we should be the first to love everyone and be the first friend to anyone. If you are a Christian, we believe that every human being is created by God and is precious to Him. And if you are speaking poorly or meanly about somebody to their face or behind their back, you are not living into your identity in Christ. And you are also not giving that person an opportunity to live into their identity in God either. You're doing a disservice to yourself and to God because it's sin. Sin is disobeying God, and sin causes separation between us and God and between us and others. And that leads us to recognizing very quickly that there is a problem, that we do not perfectly live out these original truths that God speaks about. And that's because we are also fallen humans. We are fallen humans, and our sin has tainted the original truths that God spoke about us. Psalm chapter 14, verses 2 and 3 say, "The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one." You see, the Bible teaches that all humans are created in God's image. All humans are marvelously made. They are known completely by God. They are never alone. They are perfectly loved. But the Bible also teaches that all humans are also turned away from God. You can find this on your bookmark. All humans are also sinful and fall short of God's glory. All humans are also dead in our sins. We are children of wrath, and we are separated from God. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 says, "But your iniquities," meaning your unrighteousness, "has separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." And the thing is, we all know this to be true, even if we wish that we didn't. Because have you ever done something that you really didn't want to do? Have you ever chased after your desires and find yourself empty? Have you ever made a mistake, hurt someone else or yourself, or someone else has hurt you? I want us all in a moment to turn to our neighbors, and we're going to speak something very encouraging to each other and then a very challenging truth. Are you ready? I want you to look your neighbor in the eye and say with your whole heart, "You are beautiful and you are broken." Turn to your other neighbor and share, "You are beautiful and you are broken." And that truth is like taking on a whole new meaning for me as I'm pointing to myself with my broken finger. I am beautiful and I am broken in every single way. This is the reality of our identity according to God and His Word. And I believe, if we're honest, this is our true experience. And if God's word ended here, this would be really bad news, right? Four words, though, that would change your life is thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that this is not where God's word stops talking to us about our identity. Remember that all humans are perfectly loved. We heard Bemi share John chapter 3:16. humans are perfectly loved by God, even in our sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, students, because God loves you, because he loves us, he saved us in our sin. And if you put your faith in Jesus, there are even more truths that God speaks about you. You see, according to God and his word, all humans are created in God's image, marvelously made, known completely by God, never alone, perfectly loved. All humans are also turned away from God, sinful and fall short of God's glory, dead in our sins, children of wrath, separated from God. But Christians are also saved from their sin. They're temples of the Holy Spirit, new creations in Christ, adopted children of God, God's masterpiece, and citizens of heaven. That this is what God's word declares is true over every person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ. And sometimes, I think Christians, we're so quick to jump to this part of our identity. And that's good, these things are true, but isn't this even better news because we understand the bad news, right? The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is good news because we understand the reality we were in the bad news. And what's even great about this, another great thing about this, is that we aren't just loved by God, even though that's a huge deal. We aren't just saved by God, and that's a huge deal. But this identity is unshakable for Christians. That this identity in Christ does not change with feelings or circumstances because God does not change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." And if that is the God who is declaring our identity in him, then we have great news because we have the firmest foundation that we can place our identity in. We don't look outside of ourselves to find our identity. We don't look inside of ourselves to find our identity, but instead we could see it as a topside down identity, where J. Warner Wallace, who I heard this from, says that this type of identity is one where we look up to our Creator to determine who we are and listen and trust what he has to say about us. And friends, if you want this topside down identity, if you long to live into this identity in Christ, then here's one of the things you have to do. Are you ready? You have to read your Bible. That scripture is how we understand any of our identity in the first place. And so in order to live out this identity, we have to read God's word. And this week, in your bookmark, you'll see that one side has a Bible reading plan. And this is actually specific to learning and reading and studying about our identity in Christ. And we're challenging all of you students to take this reading plan this week. Read God's word every single day and study the truths about all humans as well as the truths that God speaks about Christians. Because if we know Christ, we forget all the time who Christ is and who we are in him. And I've been following Jesus really closely for 10 years now. And even in just the last few months, I've been struggling to remember what my identity is in Christ. And I want to share with you the scripture that's been really helpful for me. It's 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, where scripture says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Me and my friends in my life group, as we've been studying this together, we've so appreciated that God's word includes this little, "And that is what we are." Because it's like such a matter-of-fact statement. It's like God is declaring this is absolutely true. Nobody else can take away your identity from me. Even you can't move from your identity in me. That when I'm struggling with remembering who I am, when I'm feeling insecure or feeling some worthlessness, or I'm feeling a lot of shame, I open up to this scripture and I remind myself, because of Jesus Christ, through my faith in him, I'm a child of God. And that is what I am. And we try to remind each other as friends, hey, you're a child of God. And that is what you are. God's word just said it. He declared it. Who you are is an extremely important question to answer. And I'm grateful for this time that we've had together to study this, but it's actually just the beginning. And if you are a Christian, God asks you to make these truths about you your primary identity. It doesn't mean that you lose everything else about you. It just means that your ultimate identity is in him. And when we put our identity in Christ, when we trust what he has to say about us, it actually launches us into a whole new place to belong and a whole new purpose in life. But because those are also really big questions, we're going to have to wait to answer those in the coming weeks. But here's what tonight all boils down to. HSM, one of the most important questions you will ever answer in your life is, who are you? And if you are not a Christ follower tonight, we're so glad you're here, and we hope that you keep coming and being a part of our community. If you are not a Christ follower tonight, God's word says that you are still perfectly loved by God. Bless you. If you are not a Christ follower, God's word says that you are perfectly loved by God and invited by him, by grace, through faith, to become his child. And if you are a Christ follower tonight, you are also perfectly loved by God and invited by him, by grace, through faith, to live out your identity every single day as his child. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love that you have lavished on us. Thank you that you are generous with your love and your grace, and that you showed your love for us by giving your life, by living the perfect life, by dying on the cross and rising again so that we could experience new life in you and find our new identity in you, Jesus. And I pray that tonight and for the rest of this week, Lord, that you would draw us more and more to live into what you have to say about us. Lord, we pray that in this room you raise up students who are sons and daughters of you, the King of Kings. And that is what they are. So for any student or leader who's struggling believing what you have to say about who you are in them, I pray that you remind them that you have made them your child. And that is who they are. We love you so much, Jesus. We pray for sweet, sweet life group discussions. We love you, and we pray all of these things in your powerful name.